Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
President Future plus the NHL's biggest stories every week. Our guests include Greg Valentine from Puck Stops here via Kukla's Corner. Very interesting blog that covers a wide range of NHL issues. We'll talk to him about the NHL in general and a few Oiler-related questions. Also today, Doug McClain from Rogers Sportsnet. We'll talk to him about this year's trade deadline. He was in the middle of things and heavily involved, and I think there's some interesting insight re the Oilers he'll be able to pass along. A little bit about the Oilers moving forward and the three amigos up front, Hall, Pajarvi, and Everly. We'll all talk to Derek Zona from Copper and Blue, Matt Fenwick, and Kent Wilson, two our Flames bloggers who are very interesting, and Kent Simpson, Team 1260 Oil Kings broadcast analyst, and we'll talk about that crazy opening game between the Rebels and the Oil Kings last night, and another one coming tonight that is going to be something special. Our first guest is from the Puck Stops here, an outstanding blog. Welcome, Greg Valentine. Greg, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well.
Well, thanks very much for joining us. You're on Kukla's Corner, and you had a blog previously independent of Kukla's Corner. Very interesting and a daily stop for me. Can you describe to anybody who hasn't dropped by your blog and its content?
Well, basically, I guess I'm a hockey fan in general, meaning I've tried to talk about whatever's going on in the NHL, not only the NHL, but if there's interesting things going on in the AHL or internationally. One of my interests is statistics and sabermetrics and trying to figure out who, some of the deep thing insights into hockey and what's going on. I guess that makes me a bit of a stat nerd. And I've always been interested in trying to put what's going on right now into perspective, trying to figure out how we're going to see these things when we look back in 5, 10, 20 years.
One of the things that I really enjoy about your blog is that you really do look at things that no one else appears to be exploring. An example would be recently you stated that the strongest Norris candidate for best defenseman was Lubomir Vyshnovsky. Give me the back. I agree with you. I think he's had a great year, but give me the background and the statistical conclusions you came to arrive at that decision.
Well, in order to answer that question, you have to sort of look at the Norris Trophy race as a whole. There isn't a runaway candidate who I think should be the clear winner for everybody. Now, a lot of people probably look at Nicklas Lidström and see him as that candidate because he's got the name recognition, he's been there, he's won it six times in the past. But when you actually start looking into his game, what you find is he hasn't really done as well at even strength as he has in the past. Some of his numbers that show his puck possession, this is plus-minus, this is Corsi ratings. I'm not sure how well your audience is familiar with all of these things, but basically things that show who's possessing the puck when he's on the ice aren't as strong as they've been. Now, there are plenty of other candidates. There's Keith Yandel, there's Dustin Byfuglien. I think Zdeno Chara is a really good candidate as well. But Vyshnovsky, he has been one of the men who has really driven the Anaheim Duck offense. He has very, very good puck possession numbers, and especially relative to his teammates in Anaheim. This is all team dependent, these numbers. And Anaheim is not the best team in the NHL. Anaheim does not have the same puck possession numbers as most teams, yet he comes out way ahead of his team, and that's really impressive. Of course, you can look at the most simple thing you can do is look at the scoring race among defensemen, and he's the leader right now, mm-hmm. although that in and of itself doesn't paint the picture as well as looking at some of the underlying numbers.
Would he also be a candidate for MVP? And on tangent on that, who would be your MVP right now?
My MVP right now, I think, would be Tim Thomas.
Okay.
I don't know that there is a defenseman right now who's seriously in the MVP race. Tim Thomas is he was putting up what was the best saves percentage in the history of hockey. He's sort of fallen back a little bit, but is by far and above the number one goaltender in hockey this season. Now, the question is that he hasn't played every game the way Carey Price or Henrik Lundqvist or somebody has, in part because Boston has, they have a legitimate backup goaltender in Tuukka Rask. But this is also a year where there is no huge offensive scoring talent. There probably could have been if Sidney Crosby didn't get injured. But without Crosby there, we're looking at a year where nobody's going to score 50 points. Probably Daniel Sedin will be the only person to clear 100 points. And there just isn't a big offense. There isn't a big offensive superstar. I don't think there's a huge defensive star this season. So that leaves it wide open for a goaltender. And Thomas has done has been outstanding so far this year.
Is Thomas the most dominant goaltender in the league since Hasek in the late 90s?
It's a hard question to answer. A big thing that I sort of look at as a caveat with him is Boston's got a very good defense in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the third year in a row that a Boston goaltender leads the NHL in saves percentage. It was Rask last year, it was Thomas the year before that. And I think one big constant of that is actually the Boston defense as opposed to the goaltending itself. I'd certainly want to name two other names who might be the best goaltender, at least sort of since the lockout, in Thomas Vokoun and Roberto Luongo. Now, Vokoun, nobody really looks at him. He's been in Nashville, he's been in Florida, and these are teams that really haven't had a run anywhere, but he has put up some outstanding numbers year after year. And Luongo, everyone knows Luongo is a very good goaltender, yet they seem to dwell on a handful of games against the Chicago Blackhawks in the playoffs and say, therefore, he can't win, despite the fact he's won a gold medal in the Olympics, he's won in the World Championships. I think it's a case where people are overlooking the majority of his play for a handful of high-profile games that, you know, things happen. Sometimes you just don't have... Sometimes your best game is not the biggest game, and that's just life. Luck and the way the puck bounces.
Absolutely. This is Nation Radio. We're live at the Pint on Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260. It's Alan Mitchell in conversation with Greg Ballantyne from Puck Stops here, an excellent blog. I'm going to ask you a couple of Oiler questions here. Oiler fans were very excited about Taylor Hall as he really ramped it up in the early part of the second half. Had he stayed healthy, he might be finishing around the 28 to 30 goal range. Do you think he would have been a strong Calder candidate had he stayed healthy?
Certainly he would have been a strong candidate. I'm often not on the same page as the majority of the media or the majority of the fans when it comes to picking who should win various awards. And it would have certainly depended on what Hall would have done down the stretch. Whether or not he could actually win the Calder, I would not be surprised if he could have been a nominee. If you actually want my pick right now,
yep.
My pick for the Calder Trophy is probably going off the board a little bit and saying John Carlson of the Washington Capitals. Here's a defenseman who's been their number one shutdown man all season. He may not have the huge offensive numbers to show for it, but I think he's been the best rookie so far this season.
His overall skill set is amazing. Do you give any do you dock him at all for the fact that he's playing at a pretty good hockey club and that his offensive numbers might be a little bit inflated based on that?
No. I the role he's played has not been an offensive role. And yes, Washington's a very good team, but when you're a rookie player, what that often means is unless you're a really good player, you don't get the ice time. There are a lot of cases where a good rookie has come in on a really good team and not been able to get the ice time, the same way the Oilers have a handful of rookies this year who, of course, they've been handed the ice time. I mean, why wouldn't you give Taylor Hall as much ice time as you can, given that he really is as good as anybody, which is a little bit sad for the current state of the Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks good for the future, and with Hall and with Eberle, the team is going, the Oilers are definitely going to grow, and the days that they sit in the bottom of the league are not going to last. But unlike a player like Carlson, he was handed his ice time because who else would you give it to?
Right. Right, absolutely. Final question for you, Greg. If you're Steve Tambellini, do you pursue more immediate help this summer in order to make sure you don't have a repeat of what happened this year, or do you stay the course with the kids?
You have to stay the course with the kids. The kids are the future. Now, the one thing that I would be looking at if I was Tambellini is find a way to get a goaltender who's not Nikolai Habibulin playing the majority of the minutes. I'm not 100% sure if it's still true, but as of recently, he was the lowest saves percentage in the league among goalies who had enough games to qualify for the race.
That's true. He's actually regressed since then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is the thing that I would be looking at. I don't think I'm on the same page as the Oilers franchise on him, but I'd be looking at trying to buy him out and bring in one of the free agent goaltenders. That would be pretty much the big buy I'd be looking for this summer.
Interesting.
If I was Tambellini.
All right. Greg, thanks so much, and we're going to reserve the right to call you back again another time. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
All right. Greg Valentine from Puck Stops here. Check it out. It's on Kukla's Corner, and he really does write innovative stuff. I don't see anybody doing what he's doing. Norris candidate Lubomir Vyshnovsky, he makes a really strong case. You want to check that out. And as for buying out Habibulin, it won't help. He's a 35-plus contract, so I think he's here next year, although Tambellini did, I thought, a very good job of signing an AHL veteran in Martin Gerber, who could have helped out more this year, but such as it is, they wanted to, I think, end up in the lottery spot, which the Oilers have done. The Oilers are playing tonight. We'll talk about that and many more things with Doug McLean from Rogers Sportsnet right after this.